T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What's trending?
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
That's a really good club. They're deep, and it's a good offensive team. And you know, you got to make pitches. You can't leave balls over the middle of the plate. You got to execute pitches, or they have the ability to hurt you.
100% correct there from Brian Snitker after the game yesterday. What's trending here to kick off the 1 o'clock hour on the midday show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up in 20 minutes, Jason Longshore will be in studio. Not just for one segment, though. No. Jason Longshore comes in for two segments. He stays for the AMA. So if you've got Atlanta United-related questions or anything else, but especially Atlanta United-related questions, you can text him to the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, 404-741-0929, or on Twitter at TBM929. There's plenty of questions to be asked right now about Atlanta United, so we'll try to get to the bottom of what exactly is going on with them right now with Jason coming up a little bit later. And look, hopefully they can get a win tonight, because things are trending in the wrong direction, It's fair to say.
Yeah, it is, brother.
The Braves, on the other hand, lost one game. It's all right. Well, no, they lost by a lot.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
13-1 last
night. They got foots put in them.
They got foots, most specifically Christian Yelich's foot. Multiple times, including a grand slam, which basically was my cue to go to bed. It was like, it's like 10:45. Yelich just made it 11-1. It's bedtime now for this baseball game. The bad news, or a couple pieces of bad news. First piece of bad news is that Bryce Wilson was no good yesterday.
No, he was not.
So the bullpen had to go a bunch. The second piece of bad news is the bullpen was bad too, especially Enoa. Enoa got absolutely rocked around.
Yeah, he got beat down, man. He was like a sacrificial lamb. Hey, go on out there, kid.
Yeah, just go out there.
He's going out there. And then that damn Tookie, man, he's just not been good, man. I mean, maybe we need to find.
What did you say earlier?
Tookie looked like Dookie. All right. Maybe we need to put him on that Gwinnett train, too, man.
In his last 11 appearances, Tookie Toussaint has given up a run at least in 7 of them.
It's not good.
7 of his last 11 appearances as a relief pitcher out of the bullpen, which I understand was repetitive, but nonetheless, he's given up a lot of runs is what I'm saying. He's been giving up so many runs, I'm repeating myself.
He's been getting hit, man, but again, it was one game, not a big deal. I mean, the offense didn't do anything in it. They didn't do anything in it.
No, they didn't.
So we can do that, but tonight, Dallas Keuchel's on the mound tonight.
Today, no. 2:10.
Oh, yes, right. It is a 2
o'clock
game.
It's an early game.
So hopefully he can, like we always thought, a fifth-day guy, every fifth day he can go in there and he can settle things in. His last start was pretty good. Can he get better from that? And also today, Markakis is getting a rest.
Cakes
is getting a rest. He's sitting down. It says,
who are they starting?
They're going to start Joyce in front. Joyce Ooh, in his spot.
Matt Joyce.
Yeah, it says Markakis has played in 262 consecutive games.
Yeah, I bet you. Not started.
Not started, just playing in it.
And so he still could play.
He's
going to
play tonight. He can pinch hit or something.
But who cares about that? Let's just get that streak out of here so we don't have to worry about it anymore.
Yeah.
Because Markakis needs to rest. We saw what happened to him at the end of the season last year.
He wore down.
And that's when he was playing elite-level baseball.
Yeah.
He's been playing good baseball this year, but not anywhere near where he was last year. Let's rest the man. He's 35 years old.
Let him rest.
It's the same thing with Brian McCann. Brian McCann only plays half the games because he's 35 years old. It's the right thing to do. Have you seen – we didn't talk about this the other day, but when Mike Soroka pitches and Brian McCann is his catcher, how much better Mike Soroka is?
I mean,
in the 9 starts out of 16 that he's made when McCann has been his catcher, his ERA is 2.
Yeah.
Not to say Flowers.
Not to say Flowers, because Flowers hit a home run yesterday. I didn't think that was going
on. That's the one run they had.
That's the one run they had with Tyler Flowers. But, yeah, I mean, when you have a veteran catcher like that, he makes you more comfortable.
Now, Flowers does a good job of framing pitches. We know that. He got into a fight earlier
with
the guy from the Cubs about framing pitches too good. He got mad at him.
I mean, why?
I don't know. That was a silly fight.
Don't you do that the same
thing?
Isn't that part of the catcher's, like
– That's their job.
Whatever.
The other piece of bad news, as we're listing bad news Braves-related right now, is that Max Fried goes on the 10-day injured list with his blister problem. Now, Are we going to hear from Max Fried? Let's hear from Max Fried. Let's do that. I mean, he's kind of sad, but it's okay. He gives us some decent information.
Told him it was, you know, still a little, you know, sensitive, and they just said they really wanted to make sure it would just knock it out completely. So we'll see where it lines up, but especially with the, you know, being something that came up so often in the past, we just want to make sure it's, you know, 100% done with and don't even have to worry about it lingering at all.
Yep, that's the goal. You sit down for a couple starts. You make sure that this blister is completely taken. Whatever remedy they got, you're going to put some Epsom salts on it or rub some tea tree oil or something. I read a whole bunch of stuff about it last
night. You found the remedies, but hey, he's going to miss maybe two starts. And we were discussing this earlier, Andy, was, you know, we were talking about, you know, Max Fried and Mike Soroka, you know, they're going into unfamiliar territory as far as innings pitched and all those things. And is this really a bad thing? Because now you can get them a couple starts off, a couple innings off. And, you know, not wear him down, you know.
Yeah, that was a great point that you made
but
earlier.
My thing is that this seems like this is a recurrent. Thank you very much.
That's a really good point.
That this is a problem that might occur again.
And hopefully
not. And that's the one thing that worries me about the blister, because from what one of my followers had let me know, that, you know, the curveball, the way he throws his curve, that's one of his better pitches. This can pop up again.
Well, it's also, for whatever reason, we were theorizing about this earlier, blister-related injuries and pitchers missing games due to blisters
is
on the rise.
Yes, it is.
I won't call it an epidemic in baseball, but it's on the rise. The last 3 years, there's been more games missed by pitchers because of blister injuries than ever before in baseball history. And maybe it's the ball is different, we talked about.
Yeah.
That could be part of it. I'm not really sure.
It's a hitter's ball now.
Hopefully they do something about that. Now, I've got some remedies. You want to know about these?
You
interested?
Told me.
I got other ones.
Oh, you got some more? Okay.
Yeah, I got some more.
Yeah, let me hear.
Aloe vera.
Oh, okay.
That pretty much fixes everything. Yeah. Aloe vera is good for you.
Yeah.
Apple cider vinegar you could put on your blisters, maybe toughen them up a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Also, apple cider vinegar, a good thing. You take a shot of it in the morning, kind of gets you going.
I take it at night.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm.
It's good for you.
Yeah.
Underarm deodorant. You put some deodorant on the blister. Maybe that'll
what brand?
Make it smell better. It doesn't say. Doesn't matter. It needs to be the powder stuff.
Okay.
Not the gel.
Okay.
You don't use that gel ever.
Isn't that the nastiest,
it's the nastiest
thing, in the world?
Thing in the world?
It just looks disgusting because you got to crank
it
up.
It oozes out
of
the top.
Yeah, that seems like it's the nastiest thing ever.
And then you put it in there, and it's just a bunch of wet goo in your armpit until
it
dries.
It's very nasty.
It's totally disgusting. I'm more of a solid gel guy myself. Speed stick. Black tea is another remedy. All right, let's move on. Sorry.
We've had this uncanny run. I think it's our third out of four MLS games where we've had to change someone in our defense in the first 20 minutes, this time because of injury. And, you know, we're really sorry for Breck. He's suffered that knee injury. He's out. It's season ending. And, you know, it's a real shame because, you know, he's a great lad. He's been, you know, fantastic for us. He's a great pro. And, you know, it's also in a position that, you know, at the moment, we're just struggling to get any players out.
Yeah, no home remedies for the ACL, unfortunately.
Man.
Breck Shea is going to be out for the rest of the season. Terrible news for Atlanta United as the injuries just continue to pile up. I mean, it feels like the Falcons last year. Like, really talented, but just the injury bug continues to bite and bite and bite. It seems like every single win, and Darren Eels said it right there yesterday with Duke Sabel, it's multiple games in a row now where somebody has had to leave in the first 20 minutes with an injury.
Yeah, man, and I remember when Breck Shea went down, and the first thing I thought to myself is, oh, that didn't look good at all, the way he was grabbing his knee and everything. And I'm trying to remember last year when Atlanta United won, and it was Toronto that won the year before. I think they lost all their fullbacks, too, last year.
They had a lot of injuries.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, I thought they lost all their fullbacks. And we'll have Jay Salongshorn here, and I'll ask him that. But, yeah, this is make-or-break time, though. I mean, you can't do nothing about injuries. Injuries are a part of sports, and you got to find a way to move on. Now, the depth is the issue right now with the United. How are you going to play these guys? Say El Capitan is supposed to start tonight. And I'm talking about Parkhurst.
Yeah.
So
they signed that
Mo Adams guy, but from what we're reading, he's not a fullback.
Okay.
You know, and so who do you put in there? I mean, Escobar, he want to be, you know, Escobar. So
he's being a tough guy.
He's being a tough guy.
Yeah.
LGP, I mean, there's so many different guys. Who do you put back there? But they got to win, right?
They need to win tonight.
You got to win tonight, right?
I know that they're not doing great on the road.
It's all white.
The loss to Seattle was the fourth road loss in a row. It's a whiteout tonight.
Yeah, you know I'm not a big peach kit guy.
I love the peach kits.
I like the black kits.
I like the black ones too, but I like a little alternative. A little switch it up a little bit.
Nah.
Now, you guys are all three against me on the King Peach kits.
Yeah, not liking them. Never was feeling them.
I mean, I like the five. The problem is I like the old five-stripe jersey that actually had five stripes on it. The jersey this year's got like 13 stripes on it.
Yeah.
It's too many stripes.
Yeah, but it's much close to, too close to orange, like Brian said.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of problems with orange. I understand that.
Well, it's pretty easy. All you got to do is turn it on and see. But it's more than just that fourth quarter. It's a performance against Texas, which we weren't proud of, and we've got to grow and get better. So there's learning experiences all across the board. Going to Baton Rouge, tough experience. We didn't play our best game. We're going to have to go on the road in the SEC this year and play in some really tough environments. So biggest thing we take from those is we learn, but we also learn from our victories. And we had quite a few of those last year, too.
Kirby Smart there. You know a coach doesn't particularly care for a question or want to talk about it? What he tells the reporter to go look at the tape. Well, it's pretty easy to see if you turn on the tape.
Yeah, we got foots put in.
Yeah, there, we didn't close games out very well. Pretty obvious if you want to go check that out. But again, I mean, that's part of the story for Georgia this year. I mean, there's a bunch of different ones. There's positive ones, the talent, the expectations, Jake Fromm, third year, offensive line, all this stuff. Then there's the negative ones too, which is, all right, what happens when you get into a close game with Alabama again in the fourth quarter? You ready this time? What's going to happen this time? I guess you don't know until you get there.
Exactly. I mean, you can say what you want to happen, but you really don't know what's going to happen. And again, I mean, you're going to have to play well to beat Alabama. You're going to have to get a break from Alabama. You're going to have to make them do something uncharacteristic, like Jimbo did.
Yeah.
I mean, not Jimbo, but Dabo.
Like Dabo did.
Yeah, like Dabo did. And you got to make it to a point where Nick Saban is doing fake field goals when everybody watching the game and everybody in the stadium knew what was coming. You know what I'm saying?
Don't call a fake punt here.
You know what I'm saying? You got to know you've got to do those things. And when we get past Alabama, there's still going to be that other monster sitting there.
Hey, if you're Kirby Smart, do you call a fake punt or fake field goal against Vanderbilt just to get a good one out of your system?
They got to call a fake punt or a fake field goal against Vanderbilt.
Well, yeah, they don't have to.
Yeah,
to do it.
We're in trouble.
Like Pete Carroll used to call fake punts up 30 just to rub it in.
I mean, but here's the thing. We used to do it too, but this is what the coaches always say, because they wanted to put it on tape so the other team can do it.
You don't want to do it because you don't want to put it on tape.
Yeah, you want to put it on tape so they can, the other team can game plan for it. That's why in the preseason you see a lot of trick plays and stuff like that, because teams want to put it on tape.
I see.
That's just one extra thing you got to think about.
So, I see.
It never makes any sense to me.
Like, is Kirby going to be gun shy if he ever thinks about calling a fake punt or field goal again? Because I would be. The last two times have not gone well.
Ain't pretty.
Has not been a good situation.
More than anything, man, I'm just so motivated. You know, a lot of times guys get a big paycheck or whatever, and they go to chill and relax. I just feel like it's totally opposite.
Grady Jarrett saying he's still fully motivated. In fact, maybe more motivated by the fact that he just got a big contract earlier this week. They got the deal done before the deadline. Deadlines spurn action, and that's what happened on our spur action. That happened on Monday. Grady was in studio yesterday with Duke Sabel talking about it. And look, honestly, really interesting interview. I would go check it out on the website, 929thegame.com. But I'm excited to see what Grady looks like this year. I was excited to see what Grady looked like if he was on the franchise tag or if he got a long-term deal. I'm happy he got a long-term deal, but I think it's fair to expect really big things from Grady this year.
Yeah, I mean, I was expecting big things from Grady because he seems like he's on that trajectory to get better and better every year, and he has so far while he's been in the league. This was a long time coming. We were surprised, but obviously this is something that, you know, that they've been working towards, and again, deadline spurs action. Yeah, I'm sure that yesterday they just didn't re-up negotiations. I'm sure it was
they've been working on it.
Yeah, so I'm sure they've been working on it for a while. Drew Rosenhaus is in town. He is Deion Jones' agent, and he's up at Flower Brent. So maybe Deion has a new deal before the end of the day.
Maybe. Drew Rosenhaus used to be your agent, right?
He's a closer, baby.
Maybe you could get some inside info.
Nah, I doubt that.
No, probably not.
Nah.
Yeah, that's probably not going to happen.
Tried it before.
Really?
No.
Oh. who do you think gets done first, Debo or Julio?
Deion.
Really?
If you'd have asked me this before last week, I'd say there's no way that Julio Jones would be the last one to get a contract. Yeah, I think Deion's going to get done.
Because Deion's is going to get done, or because Julio's is going to linger for some reason?
I think Julio's going to linger.
Why?
I don't know, man.
Huh.
I don't know.
Just a feeling you have?
Just a feeling, because they really didn't give us a timetable. They really didn't give us a date when it was going to happen. The whole thing is, it's going to happen. Everybody's been saying, it's going to happen. Did they say it was going to be before the season?
And Julio's they didn't give us a timeline, but Julio said he wouldn't hold out.
Yeah.
Because Arthur Blank's word is gold.
Yeah. So maybe Julio still shows up Monday or when they report.
Monday. Well, last Sunday, I guess they would report. Maybe Saturday. I don't know. If training camp starts on Monday at 9:30 in the morning, what time do you get there? Usually, I never played in the NFL.
We usually get there we probably report 2 days before.
Okay.
Because you do run test Sunday.
Run test.
Yeah, you do run test.
We were talking about that before the show.
Yeah, you report that day.
Sounds awful.
You probably do your run test the next morning because the whole day, the first day you go in, you're just doing all a bunch of just sitting and looking and people coming in and all that stuff. But yeah.
All right.
This year, I made a conscious effort to cut back on my schedule to make sure that I don't play too much. I want to play here as long as I possibly can. And you have to understand if I play a lot, that I won't be out here that long.
Tiger Woods talking about why he's had such a limited schedule this year. He's also talking because he's at the Open Championship, which starts tomorrow. We had Todd Lewis on the show in the 10 o'clock hour. Also an interesting interview if you want to check that out. On 92.9thegame.com, the Andy and Randy page. Todd Lewis sounded, we've had him on every Wednesday before every major.
Yeah.
Every major, including the Masters, where he was right, sounded very optimistic about Tiger. Not today.
Well, here's my thing
with
Tiger. Did
not sound optimistic about Tiger today.
Tiger sounds like I'm cool now. I got that one major that nobody said that I was going to ever get again, and it's the biggest one. And I think he's just enjoying playing golf now. I don't think he's putting as much effort into it as he once would.
We got to make our picks by the end of the show.
Jason
Long, he's on scholarship at this point.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods is not going to be my pick. I'll give you that brief preview. That's not who I'm picking.
I know who I got.
Tiger Woods, probably.
Yeah.
We'll make our picks before the end of the show. Jason Longshore comes in studio next to talk some Atlanta United. He'll hang out for the AMA as well if you want to get an AMA in for Jason Longshore on the Solomon Brothers down at text line. That stands for Ask Me Anything. We'll talk to Longshore coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy here with you for a couple more segments. Dukes and Bell coming up live at 2 o'clock. They'll be in the Gulch.
Bring your own bottles.
Down in the Gulch parking lot, hanging out, getting ready, tailgating for Atlanta United tonight. Kickoff at 7 o'clock, and that is the livery did said.
Bring your own beer.
Bring some Hey Man.
Yeah.
Bring some. Shouldn't they have some?
But, I mean, a lot of times, you know how when people say, hey, can I bring some? Yeah. Bring some Hey Man down to the Gulch. There it is.
BYOB to go hang out with Dukes of Bell down there in the Gulch. And look, I mean, I would be BYOB anyway because, I mean, it's going to be a tailgate. It's going to be a lot of fun. It could be a good idea to take some Heineken 0.0 down there as well. Great Taste Zero Alcohol, because that's who sponsored the segment with Jason Longshore.
Yes.
Who's in studio with us right now. How are you, Jason?
I am good. How about you guys?
We're doing pretty well. We're just kind of sitting here talking in the break about Breck Shea and what a bummer it was to see him go down and then find out what actually it was, and he's going to be out for a while. I mean, I know this has a lot of ramifications to the team in general, but just in terms of Breck Shea himself, it's just sad to see a guy get hurt.
Yeah, it's sad to see a guy like Breck, who I think is kind of remaking his career into being a defender, and it's been a work in progress, and I think he's had a solid season. I don't think he was brought here to be a starter, and I think that's one misconception that's been out there, is that George Bello was going to be the starter with this team at left back. He started game one in Costa Rica. You don't start a 17-year-old on the road in Costa Rica unless you have high hopes for that kid. He's been injured the whole season. Breck's played a little bit more than he expected. He hasn't been bad. Has he been outstanding best left back in the league? No, he hasn't been that either. But he's been a valuable piece, and he's kept this team afloat with a ton of injuries on the left side. And now you're down number one on the depth charts down, number two on the depth charts down. Mikey Ambrose is dealing with a hamstring injury. That's number three. It's kind of bleak at outside back right now.
All right, then. I've got it right here in my paper, Jason. What the hell are they going to do?
That's what you wrote down?
Yes.
I need a chalkboard. I need all kinds of things to try to figure this out, because you could go a bunch of different directions tonight. And you're going to have to get creative, I think. No matter which way you go formation-wise, for me, it's all about the individual matchups. Formation is going to be thrown out the window tonight in a lot of ways.
Right.
It is about dealing with Albert Ellis, who's one of the fastest, strongest players in this league on the right wing for Houston, dealing with Mauro Manotas, who's one of the better strikers in the league, Romel Kyoto, who's very unpredictable, good speed, but he's just up and down, very inconsistent on the left side, and then Tomas Martinez, a very technical central midfielder who can shoot from distance behind Manotas. So that's their attacking diamond. You've got to match up, and you've got to have 1v1 battles with all four of those guys, and you've got to win three of the four. Who's going to be the one to deal with Ellis is the biggest question. because he's the toughest matchup.
Because he's on that left side right there.
He's on their right.
He's on our left, their right.
Correct.
Okay.
Which is where the problems are.
Yeah, and he'd be a tough matchup for George Bello. He'd be a tough matchup for Breck Shea. He'd be a tough matchup for anybody. But when you're going to number four on the depth chart or having to make something up, it's difficult.
How big does Miles Robinson have to be tonight then?
He's going to have to shut down Manotas. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to be his matchup in that battle. And you want somebody free as well. So you don't want just four on four in the back. You want a fifth guy in the back to be free to clean up any messes that happen. Probably going to be Gonzalez Perez tonight. But you've got to deal with the other side too, because Kyoto is not an easy matchup, and Franco Escobar is suspended on yellow cards.
Okay, so that's where we're starting, all right?
Yeah, that's where we're at today.
And that's where we're at.
It's not an easy one.
But again, with all of that said, obviously whoever plays in the back line tonight hopefully plays well and does a good job defensively. But doesn't it feel like a game where you want to try to score a whole bunch and maybe get into a shootout and see if you can't beat them in a firefight?
That's what it's feeling like. Is you've got to deal with those matchups. So that's their four attacking players you got to worry about. And you need one more free. So that's five. That's five guys you've got locked up. Now, what are you doing with your other five against the rest of their team? How are you going to match up? That's where you need to exploit situations. Out wide, Houston's not that great. So you've got to get outside and run at their outside backs. Their center backs have had issues. Joseph can get some goals tonight. He can definitely get some service tonight. You've got to control the middle better than you have in recent games. That's been the part that's been the most disappointing for me, and especially in Seattle, where Svensson, Roldan, and Ladero dominated that match. And you had Remedy and Nagby and Gressel centrally, and it didn't work that well. You've got to dominate the middle of the field to open up those flanks, create the 1v1s, and get Joseph service.
What do we know about this guy, Mo Adams?
I like Mo Adams. He's a player that Chicago's got a bad track record now of giving up too fast on young players. And this is another one where comes in, he's a generation Adidas player, so it's very cap friendly when you look at the salary cap. He played with Miles Robinson at Syracuse, very close to signing a pro deal in England before he came to Syracuse, had an injury, lost the opportunity to get the pro deal, came here to kind of rebuild his career and kickstart it. He's a scrappy central midfielder. He's a very defensive central midfielder, and we don't really have one of those. Nagby, Heinemann, Remedy, all kind of two-way midfielders. Mo Adams is going to sit in front of the back four and get into a tackle and be a little bit of an enforcer and be a little nasty. Distribution, you're going to have to figure out how you manage that because that's not his strong suit, but he gives you a different type of option. And Frank DeBoer also thinks he might be able to help out wide as an outside back.
Do you think that?
I haven't seen it, but he's got the skill set that, yeah, he's not going to be Franco Escobar getting up and down and contributing to the attack, but can he win 1v1s out wide? Mm-hmm. Yeah, defensively he can.
Jason Longshore joining us in studio, getting ready for Atlanta United versus Houston Dynamo tonight. Pregame at 6:30, kickoff at 7 at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Going to be a whiteout. Jason's wearing white.
Yeah.
Jason's got his white shirt on right now. Julian Gressel had some comments, I think it was either yesterday or Monday, I don't remember, about the schedule and injuries. And it seems pretty fair to make that comparison. I think the same thing happened to Toronto. I think a similar thing has happened to Kansas City. Is what's happening to Atlanta right now, where because you won the championship, you're in CONCACAF. You have more games. You're doing well in U.S. Open Cup. You have more games. Obviously, the schedule is a little bit tighter this year in MLS. So like, I know that those are all operated by different arms, but doesn't it seem like those arms need to sit down at the table together and try to figure out a way that's a little bit safer for players?
Yeah, 100%. I think there's been some blame on the Open Cup part of it, and that schedule's been consistent. So the change this year was MLS. Mm-hmm. MLS moved MLS Cup up by a month. So you compressed your season, same number of games, by a month.
Why'd they do that, by the way?
There's a couple reasons. World Cup 2022 in Qatar is going to be in that time frame, November, December.
Right.
So everybody's around the world is looking at complications with it. But for MLS, it's even more complicated because that's your championship.
Part of why you don't have a World Cup in a furnace, but that's all right.
Yes, there's that. There's a whole lot of reasons why that World Cup shouldn't be happening. Yeah, we're going to leave that one to the side.
That's another day, probably.
Yeah, that's for the post-show storylines. That's part of it, but also they wanted to avoid those international windows in October and November. So your season is going to end, you have an international break, and then you come back and play the playoffs before the next international break. You won't have that break in the middle of the playoffs we've seen the last 2 years. Mm. That part's fine. I'm good with that. But if you look at Mexico's playoff format, I think it could work because you get away from a single game playoff like you have now, where your whole season, 34 games, you slug it out, you go through all of this, and one game you're done. One bad game, one early red card, one early handball, one bit of bad luck, season over. I'm not a big fan of that. I like the 180-minute, two-game situation. In Mexico, you play on a Wednesday, Saturday, or a Thursday, Sunday. You play a quarterfinal, you play a semifinal, you play a final. Everything's two legs. You do it within the gap between those two international windows. I think it's a better way to determine a champion.
Is there another player, because I'm curious about this back-end thing, that you might think might drop a little bit more than they usually do today?
Yeah, and that's the question as you start figuring out, okay, what does your starting shape look like?
Right.
Because, I mean, again, I think the formation's going to be, you know, lower on the priority list today. It's more about those matchups, but you got to start somewhere. The left side's the one that is the trickiest. Darlington Nagbe's a possibility over there. He's played a little bit out wide in his career in Portland, but not as a wing back per se. Deion Pereira's played as a wing back a little bit with Atlanta United 2 this season, so he's got a little experience there. You could get really creative and try to play essentially four center backs with Larenowitz and then your three with Robinson, Gonzalez, Perez, and Parkhurst, and play Robinson out wide on one to deal with maybe Ellis because he's the best physical matchup, even though he's not a natural left-sided player. And then, I don't know, then you're just stuck on the other side. That's the problem. You're going to have to give up something somewhere. And that's the tricky element tonight. And that's why when you talk about a shootout, might be the best approach.
Right, that's what I would do. Try to go out there and score as many goals as you possibly can.
Got to find something defensively. And I keep, as I go through the different options and how it could play out, I kind of go back to a 3-4-3 that's not the 3-4-3 we saw earlier this season. It's a little bit more of a lopsided three central midfielders, but Nagby's on the left side. Mm. So he's the one who would have to drop and deal with Ellis because somebody's going to have to do that. And you don't want to get stretched out too much. He's the one who could do it, I think, better than Justin Merrim and better than Deion Pereira.
It feels like it needs to be one of those Joseph Martinez games.
Yes.
And he kind of had like a 15-minute stretch like that at the end, and unfortunately they gave the goal back and ended up drawing that match a couple weekends ago. But it feels like tonight needs to be one of those Joseph Martinez hat trick type games.
This feels like one of those games that is just blood and guts.
Yeah,
like it's not about tactics per se. Right. It is about
more.
If just they score three, you got to find four somewhere.
Right.
Do more.
Do more.
You could say.
Kirby's quote up there.
There you go.
PT Martinez played, I thought, really well up in Seattle. The cross on the corner was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. But I think he just looks like he's more aggressive, more in tune a little bit to the match, especially offensively.
Yeah, he looked a little angry. Looked a little bit of a chip on his shoulder.
Same way he looked in the U.S. Open Cup. He looked like he had been maybe
like, okay, Frank, I got you. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's how he's been playing the last two matches.
Yeah, and I'm good with it. I thought he was excellent in Seattle. You still get the same conversations around not playing enough defense and stuff like that. And look, Pitti's never going to win a Defender of the Year award.
No.
It's not happening. But if he's giving you great play in the attacking end, you make that trade-off every day because he's able to do things that nobody else in this team can. There's a couple balls that he played in this game, 60 yards on a rope from one side of the field to the other to open it up. He put one on Joseph's foot at just a laser from the midfield stripe to the top of the 18. He's got things in his locker that no regular player does.
All right, Jason, you've answered our questions. You want to answer some questions on the text line and on Twitter?
Sure, but I still don't know who's playing left back tonight.
All right, Jason doesn't know who's playing left back. Anything else is on the table. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, I mean anything. 404-741-0929. Twitter as well, at TBM929 or at Longshu if you'd like to tweet directly at Jason. We will get to an AMA coming up next right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
We're queuing up your questions with the Middays AMA.
Ask me anything.
Glad you asked.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Ask me anything to close out the show every single day. Brought to you by Right From The Heart and RightFromTheHeart.org. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line's open and creepy. 404-741-0929. We might have hit an all new level of weird on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line today. I don't even know if we're going to talk about it. It's so weird.
Nah, let's leave that out.
Yeah, we'll leave that one out of there.
Yeah.
At TBM929 on Twitter, at Longshu on Twitter as well. Jason Longshore hanging out with us for the AMA segment, as he does on Wednesdays when Atlanta United is in town, which they are tonight.
Yes.
Kickoff at 7 o'clock.
Yes.
Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Correct.
And you said the kickoff will actually be like right at 7 o'clock.
Just a little bit after 7, yes.
Okay. Unlike Sunday.
Unlike Sunday. You're like, kicked off at when is this thing going to start?
9:30 at night. It's supposed to start at 4.
No.
Kept going.
That's a little exaggerated.
Maybe a little bit.
Just a little.
All right. Let's start here. Oh, here's a fun one. Most underrated Mexican food restaurant in town.
Ooh. I've got one new favorite, but my long-standing favorite is El Rey del Taco on Buford Highway.
Okay.
Just amazing.
Mine's on Buford Highway, too.
But the new one is El Tesoro over in Edgewood.
Okay.
It's off of Moreland. They're new. They're not even open for dinner yet. Like, it's that new. They're
really?
Just starting to test
stuff out.
How
do you know about this place?
You know, I know things.
He's kind of fancy, huh?
Oh, yeah. Jake is around now.
That's wild.
Jake is around.
Jay's the man of the people.
Yeah. That's pretty good stuff.
El Tesoro.
So I
highly recommend.
My Buford Highway place is called
La Pastorcita.
That place is very good. There's a place over by us in Smyrna that's called Las Bravas. They make giant burritos.
Okay.
And they are delicious. Very good burritos. If you're in the Smyrna Vinings area.
Yeah, there's a place on Lawrenceville Highway right a corner from my house. I can't think of the name of it, but it's amazing. They got this Philly cheesesteak taco joint. Oh,
sounds so good.
Unbelievable. And now they have downtown, like, Lilburn area, like, where the police station is a big park. And they put up, a big food truck out there, too. Oh, it's amazing.
See, the best is you go to, like, the Latin soccer leagues. And you just go to the concession stand and just get tacos there. That's the absolute best.
Those are actually the best
because
tacos.
It's somebody's grandma making it, and it's amazing.
When's the next time you're doing that, and can I go?
Yes, we can talk about that.
All right, that sounds awesome. All right, if you were on Fear Factor, this is for all three of us, what one thing would you eat for $1 million? Pig brains, cow knuckles, or fish heads?
I done had most of that stuff on there.
Really?
Yeah.
I've had fish head stew.
Yeah. That's why I have fish head stew, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It wasn't bad.
That's an easy one.
I don't want to eat pig brains. Isn't that called sweetbreads?
I mean, I eat
that
everything.
No, that's something different.
I eat everything on a pig anyway, so that don't matter.
Yeah. Is sweetbreads cow brains?
I thought
it was like intestines or something.
What is cow knuckles?
What the hell is a cow knuckle?
I don't know.
It's like a foot of a cow? I mean, I don't want to do that, but for $1 million, there's not a whole lot of stuff I wouldn't eat.
I'm going brains.
That's all right.
Yeah, I'll take the brain.
I'll go fish heads. Hey, what's more important in the NFL? This actually isn't an AMA. I just want to throw it out there. Somebody threw this out there as a poll and people are voting on it. More important in the NFL, coaching or talent?
Talent.
Yeah.
It's got to be talent, right?
Talent, yeah.
I mean, you could have a really good coach.
Yeah, really good coach.
Coaching me.
God awful.
Yeah, and I'm not going to be good for you.
You can't win the NFL without talent. Okay?
Right.
So here's the question. Which team's going to be better? A team with no talent and a great coach, or a team with a horrible coach and great talent?
Great talent.
Okay.
Great talent.
There you go. All right, Randy, you're a barbecue guy. Explain why ribs cost so much. When it's mostly just bone and no meat.
That is true, buddy, but you got to be real selective with your thing. You got to get in there and fill up the ribs, man. But I don't know. That is a great question.
What did you just say?
Fill up the ribs.
Like before you buy them?
Yeah, fill them up.
Okay.
Yeah, like
make sure they're a little beefier.
Yes. I don't know why, but they are more expensive.
They are expensive.
You're like, damn, why do you cost so much?
It's pretty – I almost have to feel like at some point the big meat or whoever makes these decisions was like, you know what? People really like ribs. Let's just charge more for them.
I think that's what they're doing.
And people are like, we'll pay more for them.
But yeah, that's why I usually don't get ribs.
That's what I'm saying. But that's probably why, though. I still don't understand why they're so expensive.
Especially if you go to certain barbecue places that are like highly thought reputable, they charge out the...
What is the one?
Wazoo
the real fancy one.
I couldn't think
of it. The real fancy one they got. It's over there close to my house. Dude, I was like, hold on.
Well, Fat Matt's for a full slab is very expensive.
Dude,
that's
like,
just right up there by the park.
Hold on. Why does it cost this much?
I know.
Like, really?
Yeah. Sorry. But they are good.
They are good.
They're
though.
Really good.
They
but
sure
I'll get something else instead.
Sure are delicious to eat. Andy, have you ever tried stand-up comedy? As a matter of fact, I have. I did stand-up comedy one time.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
A dare bet? What?
Me and my buddy, who also did it that night, decided that we wanted to try it.
Uh-huh.
He's done it a bunch of more times. He's very funny.
Uh-huh.
Thought I'd give it a shot one time. It went okay.
Uh-huh.
Like, it wasn't a disaster. It wasn't great. I didn't bring down the house. It was just like, it was mostly just me talking for 5 minutes.
Okay.
And it was like a couple jokes, but not really jokes. It was more like observations.
Did you get a laugh?
I got a couple laughs. Okay.
Cool.
It was an open mic. It was like 20 people there.
Uh-huh.
I was very nervous.
Really?
Very, very nervous.
There's that. You, I mean, to be a comedian and stand up there and try and make people laugh,
yeah,
it's probably one of the hardest things in the world.
Especially if they don't.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine? Like,
yeah.
That was the joke part. Please laugh now. It was very Seattle-specific comedy. So I don't know. I don't think anything that I talked about would translate at all to right now. But it was okay. It didn't go terrible. It didn't go great. Maybe I'll do it again sometime. Who would win a bar fight? Bagel Guy or LeVar Ball?
Man, look, I think LeVar put hands on that little bitty dude.
Yeah, LeVar would take it.
That's pretty easy. Yeah. That's a big size disadvantage there for Bagel Guy.
Hey, that Bagel Guy's making money now,
though. That Bagel dude is making loot.
That's the ridiculous.
He signed the contract to fight other, like, viral media people.
Who's he going to fight?
Maybe LeVar Ball. I don't know.
Is LeVar Ball in that category
now? I don't
know.
Does
he fall into that level?
Hey, LeVar's hawking. He hawking Dick Baller brand now. You know, $5 for hats and everything.
Used to be $500 for a pair of sneakers.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. Hey, I saw a Bagel Boss, too, with a picture with the really attractive woman as well. It's like a picture on social media. No. Somebody said, if you get viral famous, the thoughts will show up.
They will.
Doesn't matter.
They're going to show up.
How long does
sure
that
will.
Last?
Not long. But, I mean, for him, anything is good, right? He was really mad. Like, he really,
he had
a tough time with the ladies.
He was a little fired up.
Guilty pleasure song you'd be embarrassed if anyone knew. I don't think I have any embarrassing ones.
No.
I don't care if you know.
Okay, yeah, that's me.
Yeah,
I don't really care.
Any difference to me if you
cheesy
know.
Cheesy pop, I have no problem
I like
with
that
it.
Song, Mbop by Hanson. That comes on, I'm singing it.
Completely fine.
Not embarrassed by that.
All right. I like
okay,
music.
Let me rephrase it a little bit then. What is the guiltiest pleasure song that you sang in the car last?
I don't listen to the radio. I listen
guilty.
To sports talk all the time. Or they're in or
just,
reggae.
Just studying and getting better.
No, or reggae.
Sports radio.
Or reggae. Or reggae.
Oh.
Yeah, love me
There's
reggae.
Not a lot of guilty pleasure
love
reggae,
reggae
songs.
I listen to a lot of trashy, like, new country music.
Ooh, okay, that's not what I expected.
That's probably the thing that I'm most guilty
how
about.
How is country music trashy?
I just listen to some of this stuff.
There's some, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of stuff that's on the radio right now that's like, really? It's, I know that's innuendo and double entendre.
I like this one. Who will win a fight? Andy or the Bagel Guy?
I'll beat the Bagel Guy.
That's a better matchup.
No,
that's a better matchup.
That's not an interesting question.
That's a better matchup,
I'll
Andy.
I'll manhandle that little guy.
Yeah, because
I think he will.
Thank you.
I don't know, dude. He got some rage in him.
I don't have a lot of rage in him.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to fight. I'm like, come on, man.
How would
like,
you get pumped up to fight the Bagel Guy?
Eat a couple bagels, I guess. I don't know. Listen to Mbop and eat some bagel bites.
I don't think that's going to get you pumped up. All right, I'm picking the Bagel Guy.
I don't think I have to get pumped up to beat that guy up.
No, he's got
ones.
Like crazy rage hands or something.
I don't know. I'm not fighting anybody. Hey, Jason, what do you think of Remedy at left back with Nagby, Emerson, Gressel in the midfield?
I'd go Remedy at right back a little bit more, but I like Nagby over there better.
Favorite and least favorite Full House character?
Oh man.
I
never really got
I
into
hated
Full House.
DJ.
Oh, DJ?
Oh,
really?
God,
I didn't
her.
Like Michelle. The baby. She was so annoying.
She was so ugly.
I don't know the
name. Ooh, those some ugly babies.
I don't know his name on the show, but
I don't talk
Dave
about
Coulier. Who was
yeah,
he?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, Joey?
Uncle
yeah,
Joey.
Annoying.
But yeah, DJ's the corniest one.
I like the little twins that Uncle Jesse had. They seemed
cool.
They
were cool, but yeah. Yeah, man, Michelle.
Hey, Aunt Becky was okay before she started scamming colleges.
Yeah, Michelle, she wasn't a cute baby.
All right, we'll come back and wrap things up. Jason, great work tonight. Have a fun broadcast tonight. Hopefully Atlanta United win. We'll come back and hand it off to Duke Sabel right after this. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
As our show heads into the final stretch, it's time for the takeaway of the day.
So many achievements.
On Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, before we head down to the Gulch and chat with Duke Sabel, I want to let baseball fans know you can join Dale Murphy in 92.9 The Game this Monday from noon to 2 at the Racetrack Store in Smyrna off Spring Road. Dale Murphy going to be signing autographs, so stop by, say hi at the Racetrack in Smyrna, off Spring Road. Dale Murphy's going to be there. All right, takeaway of the day. Jason Longshore and Wendy Adams had the same takeaway of the day, and that's that the text line went over the line today. Got a little weird during the AMA.
Just
like,
a tad bit.
Very specifically weird.
Yes.
Brian Gebhardt's takeaway of the day is that Tukey is pitching like Dookie.
Which he is.
And my takeaway of the day is that Jason Longshore's first album that he ever bought was a Randy Travis album.
Hey, man.
Which is awesome.
My takeaway of the day is that I almost didn't have a partner named Andy Bunker because Andy was thinking about being a comedian. Did not know that.
Well, no. I was already working in sports radio at the time.
Did I know that?
Just wanted to get up there on stage and see what it was like. It wasn't for me. All right, we got
to
make.
Also, we found another golfer, another man that he hates too.
I don't hate. Who do I hate?
Adam Scott.
I don't hate Adam Scott.
Please, yeah, you do because your wife likes him.
I can deal with that. I can deal with that.
What's different with him than him? Never mind.
He's really handsome. Okay. What am I supposed to do? By the way, Wendy is picking Adam Scott to win the Open Championship because of that very fact.
Right.
Brian is picking Patrick Cantlay for some reason. I'm picking Tommy Fleetwood. Who are you taking?
I'm taking the cap. I'm on the arrogant bandwagon
chalk.
Right now.
Just going chalk.
Yeah, buddy. I'm on that bandwagon.
All right, let's head down to the Gulch where Dukes and Bell are going to be broadcasting live from 2 to 6:30, getting you ready for the Atlanta United game tonight. What's up, fellas?
First of all, Randy, I'm with you, man. How can you not like a guy that says, I don't practice until it matters? I like that dude. I'm with you on Koepka, man. He's playing well right now. We've got a lot to get to here down here at the Gulch.
Oh, by the way, I'm with Andy. Adam Scott's a weenie, man. Remember he won Masters?
Oh, see, boys!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.